Start this.
All right.
Sorry, no cussing.
The hours are getting longer.
This is to call the work session to order for the Joint City Council and Bicycle / Pedestrian Work Session. It is Monday, December 16th at 11 a.m. We are meeting in Conference Room A. Before I have Peggy call the roll, I would like to introduce Spencer Neeble. Our new city manager, who is just fresh here from Sault Ste. Marie, where he was city manager for 26.
21. Don't age me anymore.
We'll
I was going to say 22.
So almost 22.
22 years.
So Sandy, out of the full house Friday night, I just want everyone to be aware of the fact that Spencer chose to sit down next to me, whatever that means.
He probably got you in that.
Right.
He didn't make me work. That's probably the main reason. You want to take that as a good sign or a bad sign?
I don't think I've admitted you.
And so with that, I'll have you call roll, Peggy.
Swanson?
Here.
Busby?
Here.
Rumagoo?
Here.
Beamer?
Yep.
Salins?
Here.
Sawyer? And Allen. Sawyer will
be his excuse.
Yes, he's excused, and David will be late.
Yes. And then in the audience is Ken Dennis, and Chief Miranda, and Ted Smith. Yes, I did.
Do you remember his name still?
Yeah. And don't you come from over in the library somewhere? Derek Tokos.
I'm that guy who used to.
Dave Morgan from News Lincoln County, and
Larry Conrad.
How soon we?
I was just waiting. New Lincoln County Dispatch. I got you. No, I didn't. All I could see was the top of your head. Okay. For the additional work session items that aren't listed on the agenda, if we can agree to put those at the end for today.
It'll work.
Okay. And so we are going to take off out of the chute, as they say, for the presentation by the Bicycle Pedestrian Committee. But before that started...
Yeah, I just had a couple of comments. Well, first
Mark
of all,
Salins.
It's a real pleasure to be able to come today and have the opportunity for the Bicycle and Pedestrian Committee to give an update to the City Council. It's been a while. I know Big and I have had the pleasure of working with the committee for the last several months, and being the type of person I am, which is always optimistic, I'm kind of viewing this session as sort of like the first step in a refocusing and re-heading down the path of the Bicycle and Pedestrian Committee. I will also forewarn you that I have an action item in mind, which we can discuss after the presentation. Doesn't necessarily have to take place today, but there is an additional reason why we wanted to take advantage of this timing and have a formal presentation. So thank you for that. I also would like to acknowledge the fact that our new chair has been doing a great job, and I appreciate all the efforts the committee members have been making over the last, however long it's been, 6 or 7 months of we've been working out our new relationship. So thank you very much.
And the chair is Mary Ann Bosa, and I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. And I'd also like to introduce Alicia Kern, also from the committee, and we may have a couple of other members of the committee coming for part of this if they can make it. So it's an honor to be first on your docket, I dare say appropriate, but the Bicycle Pedestrian Committee has been very active, and we're very happy to be here to give you an update. Some of the council members may remember this presentation that was presented by Ken Dennis, who was our chair back in January. So some of this will be familiar. I'm not terribly familiar with your format here, but what I thought I would do is just run through this very quickly, and then there are four slides that are the key slides that are priorities that
okay.
I've given you a copy of, and then we can backtrack and kind of go through each of those in more detail.
Okay.
So just quickly, who we are. The committee was established back in May of 2000, and There are currently 5 committee members, Chuck Gornash, Alicia Kern, who is here, Bob Hine, Dave Team, who also served as the Newport Police Department liaison until from 2002 till 2010, when he became a member of the committee. And then I'm the newest member of the committee. And also here is Ken Dennis, our former chair, who was with the committee since 2000, since the beginning. We had 2 committee members recently step down, Ken and Elliot Crowder, and we have, you'll be seeing recommendations from the committee for new members.
And for Spencer, Ken and Elliot Crowder on the bike shop.
Okay.
And so of our members, we have a pretty good cross-section of the community. Chuck Gornash has a business on the Bayfront. I'm with the Hatfield Marine Science Center as a program director in the director's office there. Bob Hine also has his own business. He's a contractor. And Alicia Kern is retired from the Central Lincoln PD. And Dave Team also retired with a small business. So what we do, we advise the council regarding issues related to bicycle and pedestrian transportation, safety, recreation, and education. We act as a resource, and we see our, we see one of our important roles is to help the council when projects are in their earliest development stage, to in the visioning stage, to be able to plug in at that point. And really, we have a lot of expertise in our committee and a lot of background and history that we bring to the table. And we feel that we are, in addition to the other things that we do, advocating for bicycle safety and helping to provide education, and really turning, helping Newport continue to become more and more bike friendly and pedestrian friendly through time. A lot of, so there is the part of the TSP, the Transportation System Plan, is the bicycle and the pedestrian and bicycle plan that was finalized in 2008. This is kind of a Bible for the committee. It really guides our work, and I know that Public Works and Community Development use this document as well. And I think it's a great document. I think it could, you know, maybe use a few updates here and there as projects get done and get checked off the list, but it's still very, very relevant, and it was very well put together. Kudos to the people who were involved in drafting this document. We are advocates for this document. We'll keep putting it on the table and reminding everyone of what's in it.
Is this posted on the website?
It is, yes. And also the bike map is a product of the committee, and also we'd like to be putting out a pedestrian map as well. So there are a number of completed projects. I won't spend time on this, but the committee has done a lot in the past and is prepared to helping to move things forward in the future. And so with that, we have 4 high priority projects that we've identified that says for the coming year. We gave the same 4 priorities back in January. Sometimes it's a little bit hard for the committee that things move slowly, but we're understanding more and more how to plug in effectively and get things onto your radar, and this is part of it. We really appreciate this opportunity to be part of your planning. So most of the projects defined are in the plan, and a key thing about these projects is that they add value to our existing city infrastructure. They're mostly connectors. They're small projects with big value. They're things that will link existing infrastructure and make a big difference, or make it more usable and make a big difference for the people using it. So with that, I'd like to just quickly run through the 4, and then we can backtrack and talk about each one. So the first is Sharrow's. So you've probably been seeing these pop up around Newport, and Public Works has been deploying these, much to the excitement of the Bike Pedestrian Committee. This is a really big priority. The Sharrow's tell drivers, remind drivers, that to look for bicyclists, to be aware of bicyclists being on the roads. They're deployed on the heaviest used bike trails. It also gives a message to bicyclists that these are the key bike routes in the city. One of our committee members calls them a poor man's bike lane. They the committee has decided to advocate for sharrows instead of bike lanes for a number of reasons. They are they are relatively inexpensive in the grand scheme of things.
What do 38 sharrows cost?
They cost Tim, there's Tim. We came up, I was digging around in my notes for a number. Did we say somewhere between 100 and 200 each?
I was going to say somewhere between $150 and $200.
Okay, so about
$100
a piece,
$100. I don't remember exactly.
That's ballpark.
Yeah, it was $120 back in the 2008 plan, so...
Probably a little more than that now.
That's the installed price.
That's just our purchase price.
Purchase price.
Of course, it's gone on our own.
So that's free.
A cost of our time. Mm-hmm.
I'm aware of that. I was jesting.
And it's more cost effective to buy them in bulk because there's a really large shipping fee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're looking at about 120 more of these to complete the bicycle route. So we'll come back to this and we'll be able to talk about it in more detail, hopefully. Here's another project that's been on our radar for a long time. As you're coming down, if you picture yourself as a bicyclist and you come down Ocean View past Agate Beach Wayside, and then you get into that windy section.
Coming south,
yep, you get into that windy section with no shoulders. And there have been a number of ideas for how to deal with that. It is part of the Oregon Coast Bike Group. And the committee's preferred plan for this would be to take bicyclists off Ocean View briefly, route them up Nye Street, and that gives them access to the bike shop, the library, the supermarket, and then bring them back down. It would be an alternate route, and then bring them back down into Nye Beach. What's needed, though, is a short connector, and I tried to put a Google Maps thing up here, but it was a beautiful blue sky day in the aerial photo, except for one cloud sitting right over that section. But coming down Ocean View, here is...
That's 101.
Yeah, I'm looking here.
Tim can help you.
This is Nye Street right here. The long straight bike piece here. And the proposed connection, Park Street is actually kind of a little gravel road and the pump station down here. The proposal is to extend this and tie in right through here.
Isn't there a sewer going to be going through that area?
Yeah,
similar?
That's not really the sewer. The fourth main will actually go up Ocean View Drive, cut across 17th Street, which is a little bit to the south of where they're proposing to make that tie-in. The transportation system plan actually shows Nye Street connecting to Ocean View Drive there at some point in the future. Mm.
So we, if we had a design and we had a cost, we might be able to apply for grants, but we're a little bit, we're looking to you for the next step on this project. Here's another really important project. This actually came to us from community members. There's one community member in particular who lived out at Little Creek. And she said to us, you know, we're walking the shoulder of the road here. It really is. There's a guardrail and a very narrow shoulder there.
And we've all seen people walking at all hours of the day and night there. There's a tunnel right here, and it brings you onto this trail. And then there's a sidewalk right here that picks up right. This is the Best Western. This is Agate Beach Wayside. And this is the apartments back in here. If people could use the tunnel and walk this trail, there's a short connector here that would then connect them to a sidewalk. That would keep people completely off the road, or at least give them the option of staying off of Highway 101 completely if you have a short connector in there. So that is, there's a fence here. I went and crashed around in here yesterday, and there's a barbed wire fence right here. And I don't know who, do you know, Tim,
that's
who
the,
owns that?
That's the boundary between state-owned land and I'm not quite sure where the state right-of-way falls into that, and then the hotel, which is West Buckley.
This might be a little bit familiar.
Is that really Agate Beach Wayside?
That's the big parking lot on the east side.
That's the big parking lot at
yeah, you know where we are.
Okay, I'm oriented.
This is where the sewer runs.
Right, gotcha. Yeah.
And then this here, the right along here, this trail already crosses Big Creek. So there's, it's already using the same culvert or the same access over. So it really is just this hill here.
So that's something else that we would like to talk to you about today.
It's the Big Creek. The Big Creek Apartments you referred to is on 36th. Okay, I'm oriented completely.
Oh, you see 31st.
That's 31st, yeah. But.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then the last one is the sidewalk from the Bayfront to the hospital. Naderlin, you can see the new beautiful Naderlin sidewalk here. This project is magnificent.
Isn't it though?
Coast Guard's right lower quadrant there.
Right.
So here's the Bayfront bridges over here. Here's Naderlin, the
Coast Guard
here, and access to the Bayfront. So the next one that's on our radar is this Harbor Way. There's sidewalk up to here, and then this is a very
steep,
windy, steep.
No shoulders.
Difficult walk. It's wide, but there's no, because it's windy. Drivers cut the corner a little bit, and there's no dedicated path for pedestrians. It would be useful not only to employees of the hospital who might want to, you know, walk down the Bayfront, or patients or patients' family that would want to access the Bayfront, take a nice walk. Also, very importantly, for employees of the Bayfront who walk that after dark and before light, you know, in the early morning and evening hours. And it can be quite treacherous. So that's very much on our radar, as well as a very important connector. And that is what we have. So, you know, I'd like to then backtrack, and I'll look to you for guidance for how we should proceed on discussing these priorities. I'll go back to our.
How many? This is just an information question. How many are in the club or are active? I mean, I know the committee, but there are bike riders here. I mean, you could get some sort of number from the bike shop, I would imagine.
Ken probably knows.
Number of active members in the bike club right now is, I'd say, about 40.
40? Okay.
And this is Bob Hine, also of our committee.
Hey, Bob.
It's Spencer Neagle. Hi.
Nice to meet you, Bob.
That's okay.
Anecdotal, but I'm astounded at how many people are seeing the bike shop as a real bike central, thinking more and more of Newport as a bike town, and people really coming together as a community of people who love to ride their bicycles in Newport. So the culture is really changing to where people see this as a bike town.
What about the events that Parks and Rec has put on at Wilder? You know, those racing, whatever they're called, kamikaze events. From my point of view.
That race, they've had two races.
Right.
And both of them have been highly successful. The good news is it's a wonderful tourist attraction. I think the first year they had $3,500 in prize money they gave out. The second year was not quite as much. It raises great money for the Parks and Recs or for the Rec Center. And it brings in about 250 riders the first year and about 200 the second year, something like that. I think it's a little bit elevated, but there were just about that many. And you know, it's becoming a real exciting ride. It's a big one, but the bad news is it's on private property, most of it. Right.
So, isn't it also true that in this upcoming year, it'll be designated as a qualifier or something for some next level race? What do they call that? It's going to step up one level in terms of...
Well, for the Norva series of bike races and mountain bike races, yeah, I think that's
right. And then the other interesting observation, of course, Walport had their gravel epic this year.
That's well right. I forgot about that.
I couldn't help but observe, sort of imagining a trend towards the entire Central Oregon coast becoming a bike mecca with various events purposely scheduled at different times of the year, so that, you know, that sort of inner city competition that we always tend to have from Twin City doesn't occur. And yet, down at that event, this is an example. I have a young man who said, I used to attend about six or seven of these races a year, but now I have my first child, and, you know, responsibilities start weighing on you, so I'm going to have to be picking one or two. Two races I've attended at the coast, meaning the one here in Walport, are the first two on my list. And he was somebody who lived over in the, Corvallis area, so that's not surprising. But the fact that he focused on them being of the caliber that he would choose those as his two main events is really something.
Yeah, the recreation, so that's not the big recreation ride. We have a
fantastic
country ride.
I am not. Yeah.
Well, and then you have me who needs a tricycle. I'm sorry. It's not that my heart's not there.
Yeah. In keeping with this becoming a bicycle, Chamber of Commerce, business after hours, Thursday,
right,
was at the bike
Brent
shop.
Routers.
And my wife and I attend those regularly. And it's kind of interesting. I got some information about the Corvallis Coast Trail that had occurred. And was able to talk to city commissioner, county commissioner Doug Hunt, who thought he was up to date on things and had sort of misunderstood how things stood. And I actually got got connection with Representative Gomberg's guy, Kyle, that was
right
there.
He's new.
Got a call from Gomberg over the weekend.
Great.
And Gomberg knew very little about the Corvallis Coast Trail. He knows a lot more about it now.
Good.
And he's very interested. Right. So I'm going to get a hold of Gary Chapman and talk to him. Gary Chapman, for those who don't know, is the heart and soul of the Corvallis Coast Trail, and lives over between Plymouth and Corvallis, and I'm going to catch him up to date on some things. It's not dead. Right now the big problem is Sagasaw National Forest. So that's a great idea. Your idea is a great one. We do have to have an environmental impact study, and we can't afford it. You have to pay for it. It's $1,000 a mile. It's a 50-mile trip.
For the whole thing we're doing?
Well, the part oversized for National Forest.
But
which is a goodly amount of it. Yeah, that's right. It's not 50 miles. Yeah. So where it goes...
10 miles, I think, but still...
That is more than 10 miles.
That's 50,000.
More than 60 folks have.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Bake sales will do it.
So Sandy, where I wanted to go from here.
Yes, go ahead.
So part two of this is I tend to be a historian as well as an optimist. And what I mean by that is I always feel like every step of the way is leading to some sort of better outcome. You might make some wrong turns here and there, but you're generally, in this case, getting this to today with the Bicycle and Pedestrian Committee. And relative to that, I would like to take a moment to, for lack of a more formal opportunity, to have Ken, you stand up and for us to recognize the years and years that Ken has put in as the chair to this committee. It's gotten us to this day. Part one. So part two, as a longtime government employee, longtime supervisor of staff, I always had had the motto, I'm going to see how this applies to a committee in a moment, that if you're going to assign a task to somebody and they don't have the training or experience or knowledge, they don't have the tools, and they don't have the authority to make it happen, then don't ask them to do it. Basically, they're not going to get there. And so what I've been working with, me personally, my idea as a counselor with the committee, I know we have funding sources that come in that are put into the budget each year for the committee. I know we have a huge backlog of projects that Public Works is constantly struggling with. I would like us to move forward into a system with our ongoing efforts in tracking our budget process, as well as our intention to have a more open planning process this year, to establish the idea that there's this much money for bikes and pedestrians. Okay, if that's not enough, are there some other sources that can be added to that? You heard Marianne reference, I think it's clear to everybody that there's easily a tourist connection to the Bikes and Rec Committee. Whatever that amount of money is, it gets earmarked specifically for use by this committee. And then in our priority process, we determine approval of what projects are going to occur. Now, are we going to have a perfect fit between saying we're going to get A through B done in the upcoming year? Probably not. But we can do our best job at figuring out, you know, things like Tim mentioned. Maybe it makes more sense to buy all the Cheryls up front and then consequently take a little bit longer to get them all on the ground because of the money that's saved. Whatever those pieces are, that's very specifically laid out in our planning for the upcoming year. And I will be intending to carry through with that idea in the budget process and in the planning process, so that then the only thing that remains, and this is a big stumbling block for very good reasons, is the scheduling of what portion of that needs to be done by Public Works. I'm of the opinion that if it means, if this council decides that they like this idea and we look through the whole process and we decide, well, we can buy 120 Cheryls this year, but maybe we only have the time to get 40 of them on the ground, then we should be thinking about things like, well, are there some funds? Would it be relevant? Would it be worthwhile to hire an additional person during the time when the best weather is available for putting Cheryls down specifically for that task? I'm not saying whether we should or shouldn't do that, just that we should go that far in terms of our considerations for moving this forward. And I think if we establish that path, then there's going to be much more likely, just like we do with all of our other efforts and departments, okay, well, we got 80% of our work done, there's 20% remaining. Is that still a priority? Well, yes it is. Okay, so that 20% goes on to the next year's priorities. And if it's not, you know, for whatever reason, one of these projects isn't going to pan out or what have you, and then just like we do in all of our other planning, then the other thing I would say is, although it's most heavily represented by bicyclists this morning, you will see in your people to select for the open seats on the committee, we've got some people that have got some very distinct interests in walking as well as bicycling, which is, of course, another big piece of what this committee does.
And I want the category stroller, literally.
Well, I was thinking, you know, tricycle probably falls under the category of bimodal transportation. Multimodal.
Well, there are a number of paces to walk fast, strolling.
Turtles, so, maybe that's it.
Then lastly, the consideration that we've had is we don't necessarily need to rename the committee, but that we would actually move forward in that this becomes the committee that works on all aspects of multimodal transportation, whether it be busing, bicycling, walking. Partly I can say that because I know in some cases there's some crossover between parks and rec when it comes to things like trails through Forest Park or whatever. There might be some between committee activity that would occur on projects like that. But the general concept is to put in a specific budget, put in a specific work plan, track it during the year, have the authority to spend that budget, have the authority to carry through with those recommendations to Public Works, continue a process of investigating whether or not, you know, we have the people power, to actually make that happen. I also will say that this is, I'm sure this is new to everybody because I haven't campaigned this with anybody. I haven't talked with the departments about it. It's just kind of my feeling and with the committee of how we might effectively try to move forward into the future.
Well, Tim is a good guy to have involved.
Yes, and that's where the Parks and Rec comes in as well. Yes.
Along the lines of what Mark was talking about, in 2010, the City Council passed a complete streets resolution that really does address the multimodal aspect of moving citizens and tourists and, you know, people in the community around town. So there's already a complete streets resolution. It was actually in the packets that was handed out in the council meeting earlier in the year. That's actually some other guidelines that the City Council can use towards achieving some of these goals.
One of my goals has always been to be able to get a bicycle north to south, downtown Stoneman and 101. I've been working on it for a long time now. I ride down 101 and hopefully most people are not.
You ride it? From where to where? Come on. I'm sorry, you walk away.
From the bridge to Stoneman Street.
Well, okay.
Anyway, I've worked with Parks and Rec. Yeah. And I've got the pathway through the tennis courts there.
Right.
One on Park Direction got that through so you get a bicycle through there. And I never get chance to get a bicycle through there. Uh-huh. That was just one of my methods of getting bicycles without getting on 101.
Right.
And of course this Ninth Street extension is the biggest one there. Mm. Now as a walker, I've tried it twice to walk up that Ocean View Drive. Dangerous. I'm surprised we haven't had any incidents there.
Dangerous to drive on.
Yeah.
I jumped off that road twice, you know. Yeah. And when I wished to work at PUD, based on my way, I came back on my run. And I changed my routes. That's just too dangerous of an area.
Yeah.
And we thought we had a grant to fix the whole thing, but that's all true.
Right, that's the where I ended up. That's the last
right.
I heard.
So that's we're back to our Ninth Street extension plan, which we think is a good alternative.
So, Sandy, I want to reemphasize the point that I hope I'm not in any way making anyone feel like, you know, we haven't done things necessarily correctly in the past. That's not what I'm focusing on. I want to focus on, you know, how we take what we have,
the
structure that we have, budget, people, the whole works, move forward to a little more effective way of getting each of these priorities accomplished as reflected through our best advisors. The reality is we can't typically do the sort of pace on most things that we might have in the past, but if we continue to focus on a set of priorities and working towards those, along with sort of the parameters that I mentioned. I had intended originally to have a motion today, but I would rather allow this concept to kind of settle in, and then we would, at a later time, pick that up in terms of how the council would like to move forward with this, if at all. I'm just speaking as a representative of the committee at this point.
That's great.
Has anybody looked at Southeast Fulton Street in terms of pedestrians? So there's a high volume of walkers because they work on the Bayfront and go back and forth where they live up in Northeast 2nd Street area. It's 18 feet wide.
Steep on those sidewalks.
Yeah, I just wondered if anybody ever looked at those.
Spencer was going to jump in.
Yeah, my first words as Newport's new city manager. But I think from the standpoint of the plan that's been laid out, it's you know a very logical way to proceed. And what I would suggest is that you refer that back to city administration. We'll provide a report or response back on how, you know, what issues we have in regards to proceeding along these lines. But I think with any public projects, and it's tough for committees because everyone wants everything to happen soon. And in local government, there's lots of other priorities that gets mixed in. But you've identified four clear priorities as part of your report today. And I think from the standpoint of proceeding with this sort of issue, it's certainly something that from a staff standpoint, we can provide information back to the city council to evaluate these four priorities and how they might fit in into the long range plan. I think the process that you outlined is a perfectly logical process, and it's not just because you ate dinner with me the other night.
No, I know. Yeah, let's make that clear. We didn't talk about this at all.
No, it's set up to me.
But I think that we could provide a report back to this to the city council probably by the first meeting in February, if that's timely enough, and try to lay out some ways of issues and potential processes for going forward on these items.
Do I like the committee to prioritize these as 1, 2, 3, 4, or you want the city to? You want you
are these? Yeah, are these prioritized or are
well,
these?
I don't, they're written down that way. Is that prioritized? Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4.
You bring up a good point. Okay. These are prioritized.
I didn't want to make that assumption. But
These are prioritized by our priorities, and we are looking for feedback as well. One of our goals today is for us to learn how to better interact with the city and realize with city government and realize where our entry points are as a committee. So it would be helpful for us to hear from you what our next step is on this. Is it standing by? Is there something that you need for us? Should we check in with the city manager? How do we best plug in? Do we only go through Mark? We would like
to
be
like
official.
Mark.
We only go through Mark.
How often does a staff member show up to your meetings to give you staff input other than Mark? Because he's a council member, how often do you get that direct staff input at your meetings?
Tim was at our meeting in July, I believe. I was that meeting myself. But Tim was there in July, and a big change for our committee was that Tim or someone from Public Works used to come to all of our meetings. And now we're trying to find an efficient way for staff to plug in, for us to communicate with staff without it being a big strain on the staff.
My suggestion would be we've got Mark as our council liaison. He gives us updates, like we all give updates on our committees at every council meeting. Mm-hmm. So us getting the information isn't the issue. I think what I'm hearing and what I've heard from the past is when you have meetings, sometimes you need direct input from staff that Mark isn't able to give you. So my suggestion would be when you put your agendas together, if there's an agenda item that probably would prompt a staff member to be there to give you direct input, check with Mark. He can check with Spencer. And then maybe if there's some time available, a staff member from Public Works who can answer your question will be there so you don't have to worry about waiting for the answer at some future meeting.
This is where I'll interject that is the model that we're trying and have been working towards and making it more specific one, not only when we might need Tim's time, but maybe all of a sudden we've been getting some pretty regular reports on accident situations from the police department. You know, God forbid that there's some event that requires a little better explanation, it might very well be that we would ask, Mark to come in or Derek if it has something to do with planning. To date, we haven't done that a lot. We've been focusing on really getting together as a working group on this sort of model. I really appreciate Spencer's response to the next appropriate step for doing this. I think that kind of answers a bit about how do we plug into doing these things. The next step basically is getting a report back from the city and their staff. And then as a committee, you guys would take a look at that.
Tim has a very full plate.
Yes.
I think it would be reasonable to ask right now.
Yeah, correct.
Aren't you one guy down short in your... Oh.
Yeah. And that's why I double and triply reference
should we
none
urge,
of this has to do with Tim or what we've been able to do.
Should we urge the city manager and Tim to replace the shortages? Is there a reason this... I know you. It takes a while for you to...
We had a discussion a while ago about the shortfall in public works and the engineering check in public works. The reason we haven't hired a decision is we don't have to do that.
Ah, okay. Well, that falls back on the city council, I guess, doesn't it?
I think from the standpoint of proceeding with this, I think there's four clear priorities that the committee has identified. I think it's the challenge from a city staff standpoint in having successful communications with advisory groups like this are really having the advisory groups come to some sort of conclusion or some sort of recommendation and then getting some feedback back to them about these recommendations. And I think that's something that with Mark's process that he laid out would be something that is certainly reasonable and should be doable for us. And I think the other issue, as I understand it, your committee is advisory to the city council. And so today you've advised the council, and it's going to be up to us to, from a staff standpoint, to provide additional resource information to the council for making a decision. And ultimately it will be the council's decision on how to prioritize this with other issues as well. So
that's music to our ears. So my understanding is that now we have successfully handed this off, and we will now, wait for you to get a chance to look at it and move it through the council and see what's in.
Yeah, and get staff input and prepare a report to the council.
Just a question, Mark. So
yes.
These are firm recommendations from the advisory committee. These aren't subject to further change based on the staff input?
Well, I would say they've worked hard to present to you their view of the priorities.
Okay.
And as Spencer has outlined, obviously the statement back would be, how does the city look at these? How does the city council look at these? I think they've been even more clear than they have in the past. I know they worked hard to update where we are relative to some things that have gone on over the last couple of years. But obviously it's up to them whether they want to change or not.
Tim, you wanted to say something?
No, I think that what we'll see from Public Works is we will take a look at the projects that we have listed as priorities, and then we'll probably have some memo. As we're saying, these are the challenges, identify costs or time frames that we may be able to implement the project at that time. And some of them are more expensive than others. Some of them we may have the ability to fund internally, others we probably will be able to go after grant dollars. Some of them are all of their land city right away. Others are other people's property completely. And so, we put those things out, we identify what those are, we kind of have an idea of what time frame would be associated with that. And then make intelligent decisions on how to place that, either into a capital improvement plan or fund it, or partial fund it 1 year, or fund it the rest of the next. That's kind of what I think we can expect to see from my side, and then it goes back to Spencer to talk about implementation and what this is going to see.
Thanks.
Yes.
If two of these concepts are, basically ready to go, the sidewalk going down the hill from the hospital is something that, either can or can't be accomplished. The sheros, are obviously something that can be implemented as the budget, allows. The other two concepts are strictly concepts right now. They both need to be researched, before any action. As far as the feasibility goes on both of those, there are issues with both the Nye Street connection and with the trail going up 101, and those need to be basically a feasibility study on those. But the other two, the sidewalk and the sheros, are are both things that we would like to see accomplished.
Thank you. Are you happy? I mean, did you get your questions answered?
I could speak for myself right here, and maybe the other committee members would want to weigh in, but our frustration has been that we've not really understood where an advisory committee fits in. We are more of a roll-up-your-sleeves and wanting-to-get-things-done committee than, I think, than is the usual model. But feeling that we don't know how to plug in with the work that we're doing has been a frustration for us. We do understand that things do move slowly in government, but not being able to tell if they're moving or not is a frustration. So so I feel very pleased with this connection and with the future of these projects. And we'll look forward to hearing that. And I'd like to the other committee members that did come, if you wouldn't mind, if they could weigh in as well.
Yeah, you want to come in about the Cheryl's, because the bicycle pedestrian plan calls for example bike lanes on my street. I don't think there's nothing on bike lanes, but they say there is. And bike lanes do cause conflict between motors and bicyclists. We don't like it. So I think we're pushing for the Cheryl. We really need a way to get bicycles from one end of town to the other end of town without going one on one. We need recommended routes. And the Cheryl, they stand up.
They do. Even I miss them. No, I don't mean them. But I really have noticed the ones you put down.
I'm sorry I was late to this meeting. I was misunderstood the starting time. But yeah, I'm also pleased that we're getting this a more established conduit. And our suggestions, we've had some wonderful successes in the past, and we all know that there's a lot of things that are good that have been accomplished. In fact, the sidewalks, Meredith Savage, started that process of getting the 101 sidewalks about 4 years ago. And that's, another thing that's about to happen. And so these processes are slow. Like Alicia just brought up, the Cheryl's are, extremely important to me. Not only they establish routes for cyclists to go through town. I mean, the bike store has sold over 3,000 bicycles in the last 5 or 6 years. And, for the moms and the kids and all those folks that aren't really confident, having that route around the town where there are specific streets that are safer to ride on, is a good thing for people to start on. We've designed those Cheryl's in a way that kids riding to and from school can use those routes. And then, coming up Ocean View Drive has been accomplished, but for the cycle tourists to get all the way through town, going down Elizabeth Street and through the park, we'd love to see that, finished. And for the tourists who come to town with bicycles on the back of their cars, if we can get the Cheryl's down Elizabeth Street and through the park down to the Bay Road, it gives them access to riding their bikes out the Bay Road towards Toledo and back. And, a recreational thing for tourists to be able to do in town. And that's part of, growing Newport as a bicycle-friendly community, because, you've got Portland and Eugene, which are huge bicycle towns. And as far as I know, everybody takes their bikes to Bend to go on vacation. And it'd be fine to have them come here to do their riding. And so that's what I'd like to see.
Okay, well, we should wrap this up. Thank you very much from the committee, and I'd like to thank the city council and staff for engaging in the amount of time we've taken. I know we have a huge day today, so I very much appreciate that.
And thank you. I mean, you were so organized, and I
this is
what
Dave,
Ken,
and
I.
This is really
helpful. Yeah, it is.
Very helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much, and we look forward to working with you.
Yes. Thank you very much.
If you want to grab a cup of coffee, you can. Otherwise, And if you could leave some in my box.
Yeah,
so we can hand them out there.
Okay.
Congratulations.
By the way, well, thank you very much.
I just want to tell you that Elizabeth Sue.
Really?
I just stopped in there on my cross-country bike tour a couple of years ago.
Okay.
I've been to the Sue a few times.
Oh, okay.
So, who's your
sister?
She works for Bay Mills Tribe, Catherine Tierney.
Okay.
Yeah, used to be Catherine Gennetto.
Was she married to I know all of her. So.
Gary Chapman's guys have come by and talked to the county commissioners and have had to do with county roads on the east side of the county. They have this whole thing all worked out, and Hunt thought, well, when that was worked out, that took care of everything. He wasn't aware of the fact that there was a couple of little glitches.
Big ones, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we move right along to the discussion regarding formation of a business license review task force? And I think that's you, Ralph, or whoever's going to talk about that.
Mark shares the blame for this.
Okay.
I don't know, I'm kind of not liking how much my name is coming with a new city manager.
Well, first of all, let's talk about the reason for doing it.
Okay.
As you recall, I brought this up about two months ago, I don't remember, in one of these very same meetings, regarding several reasons why maybe we should take a look at this, all of which you're well aware of, and I don't have a list with me, but I think at the top of that list was the issue that's come before us on multiple occasions and is still out there on, you know, business licensing for condos, you know, rental condos, and whether they do it as a group or individually, and how that's enforced, and if you do it, what rules apply, and then there was the idea that there's several types of businesses in town that while the rule as written applies to, it isn't applied to, and it's not equal enforcement. And like I say, I think I had five or six other
things. I got the list right here, Ralph. You want to read off it?
Well, really, I think most of you remember it.
Go for it. I thought I'd bring it just in case you needed it.
This will be our archive right here.
I've heard that he's an excellent archive.
He's a couple steps above that.
David remembers everything that happened to at least 10 years
ago.
At 10 years, that's the cut-up point.
That covers it.
And then if you question him, he does this.
Right.
Well, you said back in 1942.
Read the list. Give me a break. He's stalling. He doesn't want to read the list now that he has it in front of him.
We very much appreciate that you're the one that does that for us, David. We can't resist you.
Some appreciate it, some do not appreciate it. It all depends who you're talking to and what issue. Yeah.
I actually wrote another list that I think actually had more on it than this one.
Oh, okay.
But I'll summarize what David gave me here, which is the issuance process. Some people complained about the time it took to get the license issued. The number of businesses, segments of our business community who aren't required to obtain licenses, unequal enforcement by individuals, inequality, which is well known and legal, it's just that we charge Walmart the same as we charge a one-person business. So Sandy and Walmart are paying the same fee.
Yes, we are.
And let's say that is the way it is. That's one of the things. The definition of business in general becomes very fuzzy, especially in today's world. And then the ability to enforce and measure compliance. And I think there were a couple others. But anyway, that's the reason that this has come to the surface. So what I suggested was we form some sort of a committee, task force, whatever you may call it, to address that, knowing full well that this was only, what's it been, 3 years since that ordinance was put in place.
Didn't it take 3 years to get it?
Yeah,
it took forever to get there.
In other words, we're opening Pandora's box a little bit.
Yes.
And as our former city manager said, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
So I guess the only thing I would add is in reference to the incredible effort that was made before, I think at one point I said, well, it wasn't an incredible effort and everybody involved did the best they could, but now we're at a point where because of all the testimony we've heard in reaction to that, we know that the business scene in Newport is a lot more complicated than we'd ever imagined. And that's kind of where the definition of business and all those equity and all those aspects come in into what's been identified as, a new effort to try to rectify some of that.
So that's the reasons that bring it up. And at this point, it is a discussion. And what we are, Mark and I are looking for, is an agreement to go forward with either a task force or a committee and probably a resolution. I'll let the parliamentarians decide how that takes place. But some sort of an authorization to proceed. And now to describe what we envision.
Yeah,
to describe what we envision, and this is subject to the formation of a group to do it and then decide the process as we go. But the scope of it would be focused on the business license. But in focusing on that business license, you also take into consideration the effects, especially like with the condos. Now you've got the different codes, and if you.
Well, on that, so I don't forget, because I'm not like David, is the what I'm getting so much flack over are the timeshares. So is it Landing? What is it? Stop by Agate Beach. What's the Spencer?
Schooner Landing. They sent a letter recently.
Yeah.
Schooner's Landing, but the Landing, the Embarcadero. There's several of those.
But
in
it's the timeshares. They just go nuts with that. They don't know what to do with it.
And so that's one. We're looking at the airport on do we need a permitting process and all that. Well, licensing and permitting, that all kind of ties together. So we have a single process we use throughout the city for everything. So there's a lot of peripheral things that we can get drawn into, and we have to be careful that, otherwise we end up addressing all the problems of the world.
We'll
be able to solve anything. So anyway, that's the general scope. The makeup of the group that I recommended, again, for everybody's thought and discussion, was I purposely set out to avoid having people complain, I know before, about having, there's too many real estate people on the committee. So let's keep business people off the committee. I know that sounds, opposite of what you're trying to accomplish. But what I would suggest was Mark and I, as the council representatives, we could have more, we could have less. But also, and then bring in the staff in terms of enforcement, planning, and finance, because they're the people directly involved in the city. So they each would be represented. And maybe we could get somebody from planning. I don't know. That might be a...
Well, the planning commission.
Yeah, somebody from the planning commission would be the other person.
County planning?
No, ours.
All for the planning commission?
Yes. So that would be the makeup of the people, and their role then would be to go out and gather, first of all, information, and do that by holding hearings. And you divide it up by types of business, and you divide it up by, 17 different ways you could do it. But gather information, primarily through public hearing, but also by research of records, by any other means we could come up with that would be effective. And then having gathered that information, make suggestions for change, modification, whatever, to the existing code that we have. And, the limit of that could be everything from get rid of it completely to completely rewrite it. Hopefully it's probably somewhere in between there, but that would be the end goal, would be a modified code from what we have today, like I say, but it could be anything from none at all to a complete rewrite. And I would suggest we could probably take about 6 months to make that happen.
So the other, in devising this group, the other thing we want to leave open is, given how complicated some of these issues are, particularly the condominium timeshare, we would reserve the ability to invite in to this group an expert in the particular area, as opposed to having them all out there all wanting to talk at the same time. So I think Peggy was the first one to point out to Ralph and I that we may not be talking about an actual task force or committee at this point, or a public committee. We may be looking at it as being more of a working group internal to the city council.
That sounds like a really good approach to me. I know you guys have put a lot of thought into
this. As it grows, you know, we can determine what would happen.
Well, it could be similar to the subgroup we formed for creating an evaluation process for the city manager.
That's right.
Yes.
Which is still going to be a group that's going to have to be publicly noticed,
yeah,
because they're going to provide a recommendation to the larger group.
Right,
so
right.
It could be a subgroup of you and Ralph. Maybe you can invite a planning commission member to sit on it with you,
right,
and then just utilize staff when necessary and invite people when necessary. And just a subgroup would be probably a lot easier because you don't have to worry about setting up a formal resolution. You can just kind of, by consensus, decide what you want to do and just have Peggy publicly notice it. We can set up a web page, post the audios like we did,
right,
for the subgroup for our evaluation process. And if you want to recommend a formal task force or a committee to the council, then you can bring it to the council's attention, and then we can set up a formal resolution, right, at that point.
Yeah, and I think we're saying we don't want to go that formal
at this point.
Total public involvement. So
eventually we're going to have to hold, you know,
right,
the difference between this and the city manager thing, of course, the whole city manager thing is focused on one individual.
Yeah, that's it.
And here we're focused,
yeah,
on a
thousand.
Yeah,
individuals.
But if your subgroup is publicly noticed, on behalf of the council, as a small group of the council, you can still request public input, and as long as it's a publicly noticed media meeting, the media could be there,
right,
you achieve your purpose of getting the public there and getting the information out through the news media.
And one thing you said that I'd like to discuss for a minute, I think we should have permanent assigned members, and of course that's really up to Spencer and staff, but I think it would be good to have some of the finance enforcement,
sure,
and planning as permanent party to this commission,
right,
equal status with myself,
yeah,
and Mark.
Otherwise, we're just kind of popping in the link.
Sure, I mean, that's important.
I think the suggestion is polished by Councillor Allen. Sounds like a great idea. I don't know how much more polishing it needs.
Do you have some words here?
Probably fewer words on this one than the first one. But I think, and again, I'm not familiar yet with Oregon law on you know what a work group legally,
right,
is versus,
right,
committees, but I think that makes a lot of sense to start out that way. I think it would make sense to have some staff involvement in that in your discussions, and it may be something that's more of a tweak than a rewrite. And if that's the case, I think the formal hearings could be held at the council level. If there's just a very specific recommendation or two or three that are made, if it's a complete rewrite, then maybe that,
right,
goes down a different pathway.
I can't speak. Rob Connell, our general legal counsel, he'll be back up to speak pretty soon. But
did you get him?
And he could advise you on that. But generally speaking, for public meetings, when a group is formed, even a group of a larger group, if it as a group is making a recommendation to the larger group, then it is a group that is subject to the public meetings law. So if a subgroup that we form, which is just a couple council members, mm-hmm, if they are being tasked to recommend to the larger group a recommendation, then that typically falls within public meetings jurisdiction and public notice. But I'll let Rob speak to that,
sure,
more directly. I think you'll have a lot of questions for Rob on public meetings and public records. Right now he's still recovering from some other issues, but he'll be back up pretty. Won't he available?
I'm guessing after the first year.
After the first year, he'll be available. So.
By the way, Rob I neglected to say that Rob wanted to be part of this also. I discussed this with him, so it's not great news to him. And, of course, obviously, any recommendations we make as changes to the code would come up at the public hearing.
Okay. So what do you need from us?
Well, that's what I'm not sure of, because like I say, I'm not the expert on task forces. And
I think when we formed others, I made a motion.
Okay. So say the motion.
So I move that we form a subgroup of the council, consisting at this point of Councillor Busby and Councillor Salins, along with staff members, and will allow Spencer Nebel, our city manager, to designate those staff members to assist you on the subgroup. And perhaps, if you like, you can invite a planning commission member to be on the subgroup as well. I'll leave that up to you to determine who that is. And that subgroup will be looking at any proposed revisions to the business license ordinance. And then you'll come back to us as a subgroup with any further direction or recommendations at some point in the future.
I'll second that motion.
And what a long motion.
Somebody from the commission.
Had to get it all in there before you seconded it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
So, thank you for that. For the record, it's total coincidence that I was on this agenda.
Twice.
I want you to remember that.
I'm glad you were.
Opposed, hearing none, motion passes.
Lunchtime.
Lunchtime.
I might tell you that your lunch has arrived, and then...
All we have is what we put off into the additional work session items not listed on the agenda.
No, they haven't.
Do you want to do it now before we eat?
Okay. The one is I'm curious about when the tax fee was coming out right now.
That's on hold because of Rob.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I just wanted to ask. The other one was from the meeting on Monday from the citizen Warren Cox, who brought up the dangers that he sees on the junction of Redding Springs Drive and Plymouth Bay Boulevard. He was talking about that there was a not striping for people to pass on the corner, and that the mailbox is in the wrong place and things going to get served. And I didn't know where or if the council would be involved, and we sent it off to Spencer or...
After the hearing concluded, he came up to... Derek and I were talking, he came up to us, and Derek, if you want to weigh in as to how you thought that might proceed, I'll let you speak to that, because you did have some suggestions on that when we spoke with him.
Yeah, my suggestion would be to that as staff, we need to come back with a potential solution in terms of what can be dealt with. We don't entirely control mailboxes, but we can do some things there. So if we could come back to the council with the next steps on that.
I just was hoping it would be addressed somehow, because I think...
I thought I might talk to the postmaster last night. I went to the fire department's Christmas party, being an ex-fireman. I just invited you to that. And the postmaster is on the fire department. He's a volunteer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He wasn't at the Christmas party, so I was going to just chat with him about, this was brought up. This is just informally. But I haven't seen it.
Okay.
So then a third item, we have the copies with here. Maybe we'd want to put this one first. It's just a quick update on the pool bonding process we went through to finish that off. And so everyone's... I know we've all seen the article in the paper, but I think it'd be worthwhile having Spencer hear a little bit about where we got to. And I guess I would suggest that one possibility would be for us to collect our lunches, and then maybe Bob can report on that when we're
eating.
Just real quick with respect to last item, the business license stuff that the planning commission representative, I'd be happy to bring that to the commission's attention, and they can discuss and get back to us.
That would be great.
Volunteers.
And Wanda will take minutes.
So we'll have great.
I like her.
Well, I do
too. You almost don't have to even show up for the meeting.
I have a suggestion for a future work session.
Okay, future work session.
this has to do with the real estate. We went over all these. We had two sessions about real estate.
Right.
And I want to suggest that we go over that at a future work session and discuss the sale of some of that
property. Okay.
I mean, I'm a firm believer in if we don't need it and we can't see a need for it, if we sell it to private, and I know the whole process discussed it with Gary. If somebody buys it and builds on it, we're going to get taxes for it. In addition to what we might get out of it, I think the fact that somebody might use it and pay taxes on it is as big a factor as some of them.
And just so we're clear on the record, Dick's talking about vacant property, right. Not property with any buildings on it.
That's exactly right.
Okay. I'm specifically at Larry right now.
I'm not willing to say that.
Well,
no. I'm not willing to say that.
One particular property with one building on it.
That's the one for Laura?
Yeah.
Well, I think, I know there were some commercial properties that looked, that was, most of them I think.
Well, the dock thing down in that's required.
Anyways, that was more of a.
Excluding the visual arts.
Yeah, I was being more general. But
yeah.
You can say it.
Yeah. I have one more question, sir.
Okay.
People are asking arbitrary questions. Okay. 6 months ago, and I don't know who's really responsible for making this decision, but 6 months ago, somebody in a council meeting said, hey, can we get rid of all the stop signs around the high school since the street's closed during school hours anyway? And I never heard anything back.
I never did either.
First of all, is that your decision?
Yeah.
That'd be Tim's decision, but I remember a discussion about we get rid of the stop signs that could cause some problems. Even though the streets are open, so
you decided to move. Okay.
Okay. I was going to just simply offer that. I completely reversed my opinion on that one. That they say that.
My goal is, excuse me, Mark.
Sorry.
My goal is to have us gone from here by one. It's 10 after, and if we get our food, and then we can hear Bob as we eat. You're our. Our entertainment policy.
Well, I just thought that one a lot.
I spent an hour listening to Bob Cowan on the Marine Science Center. I'll bring that up tonight. That was part of the meeting I was at this morning.
Oh,
he went
really?
Through about an hour's presentation with the advisory board that I was at.
Which one is it?
It's Coastal.
Now we have a meeting to get organized.
You belong to so many different.
This is part of. One of the things I'm doing because of that connection we wanted to make.
Well, he also made a great presentation at Rotary.
Probably similar. He probably had a short one.
Short
was about an hour. It was really good.
Yeah.
He went through all the numbers.
Did
he
get lunch?
I'll give an update tonight.
Good.
As part of the council report.
Good.
I'll be anxious to get out and about here.
Yeah.
We got pretty full schedule meeting with
Peggy. Did you want to call for now? Just
everybody's just counting on it.